And I was sitting there and I was reading Richard Baxter's Practical Works and just came across just a few lines which captures the sort of attitude that we should have towards God's word. So listen to this. Come then to the word in meekness and humility, with a teachable frame of spirit, a willingness to know the truth, a resolution to stand to it and yield to what shall be revealed to you. Beg of God to show you his will, to lead you into the truth, and you will find that he will be found of them that seek him. So just for a moment, let's pause and privately pray that we will show this attitude, an attitude that recognizes and respects God's word for what it is, that we would have teachable hearts, willing to put what the Bible says above our own ideas, that we should learn something new, that we would know God better and be willing to put into practice what we have learned. And we should pray that any who are seeking God this morning will find him. So let's just pause for a moment and pray that in our hearts. Amen. If you do have a Bible, please have it open at Joel chapter 3. How many of us can remember learning to drive? Maybe as I look around, not everyone had driving lessons and driving instructors, because I know if you're a certain age, they just put you on the road, didn't they? If you did have a driving instructor, at some point they would have said to you, please pay attention to the warning signs. Do you remember that being said? Yeah, a few people do. And those of us who do drive, we know that warning signs are very, very useful. They tell us that there's a junction just over the brow of that hill ahead. They tell us that the corner that we're coming up to is very tight and we need to slow down. And when we pay attention to the warning signs we see on the road, then we're able to drive safely. But if we are a person who ignores warning signs, then we will eventually put ourselves into a situation where there is a real danger to life, to our lives, to the people in the car with us, to the people around us. And such behavior is, of course, foolish and hurts everyone. In the Bible, we find lots of warning signs. They are often passages that make people feel a little bit uncomfortable. They're passages that may tell us that God is good, that he is holy, that he is just, and he will not put up with any nonsense. Passages that tell us that God keeps a record of everybody's wrongdoing, and that one day all those who have refused to come to him and apologize for what they've done and ask for forgiveness will be held to account. And a lot of people don't like reading this sort of thing, because most people think that they are pretty good most of the time, and that if there is anyone who's going to be punished, it's going to be reserved for those people who were so much worse than me. You know, that person who lives two doors down the road who's always partying or upsetting other people. But not me. I'm okay. That's what most people think. But this is where our standards are so very different to God's. We always see the best in ourselves and the worst in others. Which means when we come across a warning sign in the Bible, we often ignore it, but think that it applies to someone else. There are some drivers who behave like this. They think that road signs are only for those people who are poor drivers, who aren't very confident. They think that they're such good drivers that they can drive at whatever speed they want, whatever the road signs say, and whatever the conditions are like. More often than not, they are the people who end up being involved in fatal accidents. Today, we are looking at a great big warning sign in the Bible. Some of us may not like the message that it reveals. If that is the case, then you're ignoring an important road sign and you're not behaving in a wise manner at all. Warning signs on the road help us to avoid or be prepared for dangers. Warning signs in the Bible are there to help us to turn to God to find safety. They're there to help us live the sort of life that protects us from harm and evil. If you ignore these signs in the Bible, then you are responsible for what happens to you. Here in the book of Joel, we have got to the point in the prophet's message that sees him looking into the distant future to the great day of the Lord. This is the day that God sends Jesus back to the world to finally clean it up. Anyone who is not on Jesus' side is part of the problem, and consequently, they must be dealt with. Now, at the end of the last chapter, we saw the wonderful promise being laid out clearly there in the Bible that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So here in the prophets, we see the gospel has been proclaimed. The way of salvation, the way of getting right with God has been laid out, and it's free and available to everyone who turns to Jesus. Now we're looking at what happens to those people who reject God, those people who ignore the warning signs. And we have this picture of a huge crowd of people being summoned before God in the valley of Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat means God judges. All the nations will be summoned, and they're going to come down and they're going to be prepared for war. They're coming down, they're intending to fight against God, to do everything in their power to resist him. But their very presence there is a sign that God is in control. He is the one who summons them. He is the one who has told them to gather. And he is the one who will decide what will happen to them. We see that people will be held to account for the things that they have done wrong. And this judgment starts off with those people who have mistreated God's people. They will be put under particularly close scrutiny. You see, God always identifies himself very closely with his people. Anything that's done to them is exactly the same as the individual attacking God. We see this in the New Testament. Think about Saul on the road to Damascus, and the exalted Lord Jesus appears to him, and he's blinded and knocked to the floor. And the persecution that he's been doing against Christians, Jesus counts as persecution done to him. God identifies himself very closely with his people. When God's people are persecuted, it's the same as God being mistreated. Historically, the city-states of Tyre and Sidon and the Philistines had taken advantage of times when God had allowed his people to be invaded, because the people of Israel had turned away from him, and therefore God had allowed them to be punished to bring them back. But as God was punishing his people, the surrounding nations had decided to join in. They had used those terrible moments as an opportunity to steal treasures from the temple, to take Israelite children as slaves. Slaves that were considered of so little value, they would be exchanged for an evening's with a prostitute or just a skin of wine. These were God's people that had been traded for pennies. All of these people will be summoned to the valley of Jehoshaphat, and they would be held accountable for their crimes, and the punishment would perfectly match what they had done. In God's word, a common form of punishment is what's known as divine retribution. What you have done to someone else is in turn done back to you. Now, many years ago, in the 1990s, I remember watching a very strange and actually quite a dodgy sci-fi comedy called Red Dwarf. I won't ask you to admit whether or not you've ever seen that. But in one episode, one of them was taken prisoner for a crime that he hadn't committed it, but he thought he had. So he was put into a high-tech prison. And in this high-tech prison, there was something called the Justice Zone. And in the Justice Zone, whatever you did to someone else happened to you. Now, to demonstrate this, the prisoner who was being visited by his crewmates said to one of them, "Well, why don't you try setting fire to the bed?" So as this guy is trying to set fire to the bed, the would-be fire starter's jacket burst into flames, which was quite funny. especially as he then pointed out it would have been easier just to tell him rather than making him into a demonstration. So in the justice zone, the evil you intended for someone else happened to you. And in the Bible, we see that the evil that people intend for others, God will eventually return on the person's head. That is why we see in this passage, those who had sold the people of Judah into slavery to the Greeks, and the Greeks had taken them into a far off distant land so they could never return, their children would be sold as slaves to the Sabaeans, who were down around Ethiopia, and they were a nation far away, so their children could never return. So often, people think that they have got away with a crime because it seemed that they had won and they had got away with it. It seemed that they had got the better of someone else. But on the day that everyone is summoned before God, each person will be held to account for their wrong deeds. That day will be a great day which we will all experience. Jesus talked about it quite regularly in the Gospels. We see how he would talk about the earth being harvested. And here in this passage, we've got that reference in verse 13, to swing the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. He's picking up on that idea of the earth being harvested. And we see it being brought out in the parable of the wheat and the tares in Matthew 13, where there is good seed and there's weeds all together, and it's allowed to grow, and then it's harvested by the angels, and the good is separated from the bad. Which is exactly what he's teaching in Matthew 25, 31 to 46, where he talks about the sheep and the goats. Everyone's gathered, and the sheep and the goats will be separated out, and the sheep will go to be with him forever, while the goats will be held responsible for their wrong behavior and will be treated according to their crimes. That great day when we're gathered before the Lord will hold no fear for those who have paid attention to and reacted according to the warning signs that we see in Scripture. Those people who have turned to the Lord Jesus Christ and accepted him as their Savior. And that's the only escape route for people. For them, the Lord will be a refuge for his people, a stronghold for the people of Israel. Now, as we think about our own life experiences, very few of us gathered here this morning have ever been in that situation where we've gone through life-threatening persecution because we are Christians. But most of us who are Christians have gone through times of trouble. Some of us may have been bullied at school. Some of us may have been bullied in the workplace. Maybe we've had problems and friction within our family, or even been abandoned because of our faith in Christ. We may have been insulted, marginalized, ignored, and belittled because we trust in Jesus. Hard as our experience are to cope with, we need to remember that the Lord sees it all and it's all been added up. But as we think about our own experiences, we need to remember what's going on around the world. Right now, there is a particularly brutal crackdown on Christians going on in China, where they're closing down churches here, there, and everywhere. Even the official churches are now being closed down. And Christians are being told that they have got to stop believing in God. They're going into people's homes and making sure that they've got a picture of the chairman on the wall, and any crosses are being removed. And if you're a pensioner in China and a Christian at the moment, if you do not renounce God, you will lose your pension. And of course, they have no other income. That's going on right now, today, in China. And some of the Christians there have said that what's going on today is worse than what happened during the Cultural Revolution. Christians are facing serious restrictions on their liberty, their income, and even their lives because of Jesus Christ today. And to make it worse, the people committing those crimes often seem to get away with it. Passages like the one we are looking at today remind us that one day God will put everything right. And if you're in that situation where you're facing that sort of persecution, passages like this will give you hope for justice in the future. And it will give you the reassurance to keep on going forward, trusting the Lord, no matter what is done to you. And if you're someone who's being persecuted for being a Christian, Keep on going. One day, God will put everything right. And as we remember passages like this, it also helps us to practice that incredibly difficult thing of forgiving people. When we remember that one day God will be doing justice, it helps us to let go of grudges. And being able to forgive is one aspect of having a really good mental health. So often people with very bad mental health, often, not always, you find that they're holding on to something that's been done to them. And it's really hurt them and they just can't forgive. And the knowledge of what's been done to them just consumes them and turns them inwardly. Remembering that one day God is the one who will sort out all the problems and make sure justice is done allows us to forgive the person who has hurt us. And being able to forgive that person is breaking chains that bind you and help you to be free. So if you are holding grudges against people who have legitimately and really hurt you, forgive those people. It's what Christ commands. One day justice will be done. And we have to remember, of course, that we are people who God has forgiven totally. I open the service by reading Psalm 103. And in there, we're reminded that God does not treat us as our sins deserve. We read that he has removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. That's how far he's taken our sins, our wrongdoing, our punishment from us. Our sins were taken and they were put on the Lord Jesus Christ so that we could be forgiven. If God is willing to do that for us so that we can be forgiven, we can forgive other people. And we can trust that the God of the earth will do everything that is right. When we see people doing things wrong, we need to be people who warn them. Just imagine what it's like when you see someone go through a no entry sign on a road. I saw it down here once. Someone drove down there and they were new to the area. They went straight through and to the bit where you can't go. And all these people were around were sort of waving them and saying, stopping them and saying, go back the other way. When we see people ignoring the warning signs in Scripture, it's right that we tell them. And that's what evangelism is. We're going out there and holding up these warning signs and warning people that God is not going to let things lie, that he is going to deal with everything that is evil and wrong and wicked. Oh, and by the way, you're not as good as you think. In God's eyes, you're part of the problem. And you need to turn around, because right now there is the opportunity to turn around and trust in him and be forgiven. We can think about this passage in another way as well, as a sort of an illustration. So just picture the scene. There's a schoolyard. And there's a large group of children there who have been caught doing something particularly naughty, such as trespassing. And the headmaster that is there at the front, and he says to them, who's going to own up? Who's going to admit that they have done it? If you're going to admit that you've done it, step forward right now. And most of the crowd, they protest they're innocent, or they say, you can't prove anything. But there's some who own up and step forward. And the others, they laugh at them and they jeer at them. But the headmaster looks at them and says, all those who have stepped forward, thank you for your honesty. You are free to go and there will be no punishment. They've done the thing wrong. They've been involved in the trespassing, but they are shown grace. The headmaster then turns to the rest and says, we've got CCTV footage of what you did. We know exactly what every person did. And we will make sure that you're all punished appropriately according to the severity of your crimes. How do you think those who are owned up and were let off feel? How do you think those who refused to own up feel when they saw people who are just as guilty as them getting away with it because they've owned up and said sorry? Where do you stand today? How do you read the warning signs? In Scripture, we're told that everyone who admits that they have done wrong and turns to Jesus and says they're sorry and asks for forgiveness will be let off completely. because Jesus carried the punishment for them. But everyone who doesn't do that, they're the ones who will be held accountable for their wrongdoing. How do you read the warning signs today? God has reminded us through the COVID-19 pandemic about how we are not in control of everything, about how we are mortal, about how one day each of us will meet him. Are you paying attention? The warning signs are crystal clear. For the person who refuses to see the signs, to listen to that call to turn to God and ask for forgiveness, how will you feel on the day when you see Jesus, when you have to bow the knee before him, when you experience his perfect justice? You will know that the punishment fits the crime perfectly. You will know that there will be no second chances, there will be no way out, that you've missed your opportunity to be saved, to go to heaven. You will remember the warning signs that you have ignored, signs that you would wish at that moment that you had paid attention to, because if you had, you would be standing amongst the group of people whose future is bright. And for those of us who read the scriptures clearly, you see that you are guilty, you understand that you deserve punishment, but then you have seen how God has provided his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be your substitute. How he died on the cross to pay the debt that you owe. And now, because of your trust in what he has done, in who he is, you are declared innocent. You have read the signs, and now you have a completely different perspective about that day. Now you look forward to that day when Jesus will be seen by all, when every knee will bow before him and every tongue will declare that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When Christ will be vindicated and recognized for who he really is by all people. When the sheep and the goats will be separated, and thanks to God's grace, mercy and love, your future is with Christ. On that day, all those who have read the signs correctly will be recognized as the people who have found the truth, who have found forgiveness, and who have a wonderful future to look forward to with their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. They are the people who have read the signs correctly, and as a result, they are perfectly safe. Amen. Let's pray together. Father God, as we read these passages in Scripture and we look forward to what is going to happen, Lord, they are hard passages to read, but for those of us who have trusted in you, we do just thank you that one day you will end everything that is wicked and evil, all the rebellion and rejection of you that is going on. We thank you that one day everything will be made right. And we thank you from the bottom of our hearts for the grace and mercy and love that you have shown us in giving us the faith that we needed to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and put our trust in him as our Saviour. And Lord, we do just want to pray that you help us to be people who become more and more like him. People who are able to say, please forgive them, Lord, for they do not know what they are doing. Who do not harbor grudges, but rather seek to share the warning signs with the people around us. And show the compassion of Christ to all those who are hurting. And Lord, this morning, if there are any who are listening who have not yet made that step of faith, then I do just pray that you work in their hearts and help them to understand the truth of your word. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you give them the faith that they need to seek out and to turn to Jesus. And if there's anything that we can do to help them, then I do just pray that you give them the confidence they need to come and talk to us. Father God, we don't want to see anyone going that lost way on that day. But Lord, we know that in your word, many will. Father God, we do just pray for those whom we know, who are close to us in our families, our friends, our neighbours. And we do just pray that you will have mercy on them and pour out your Holy Spirit so that they will seek and they will find the Saviour. Amen.